Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning to you. Happy Friday. For those of you who celebrate, it's Easter weekend, of course, and so this is Good Friday. A lot of seders going on. I saw a lot of my friends posting photos from their seders on Thursday, and so it's a big weekend for a lot of people groups around the United States and around the world. And I know it's different, right? Many of us would go to church, go to temple, and it's not allowed for the majority of people in the U.S. and again in other parts of the world as well, because we can't get together. My mom had said something to me about drive-in church in her part of rural Texas, where they go to church. They were actually considering driving to the church and sitting in the parking lot. You would stay in your car. You couldn't get out. You couldn't have more than, you know, a few people in your cars. I know in Maryland, they did that last weekend because I have a friend who works for the state police, and he said that he spent hours and hours doing church parking lot checks to make sure that people were in compliance. So I don't know if that's what some of you are planning to do, or if I think like the majority of people, you plan on watching an Easter service or a weekend service online, whether it's live or whether it's after the fact. It definitely is going to be a different Easter weekend. This is one of my favorite weekends of the year, and usually get a chance to teach the kiddos at church, and everybody dresses up in their very best, their Easter Sunday best. And a lot of people get together and have big dinners. Maybe it's ham, maybe it's turkey, whatever it is that your family cooks. And yeah, so I'll be missing my family, but that's kind of par for the course this week as we've gone through our birthday week with four of us celebrating birthdays and now on into Easter. And so we'll make sure I get on the phone and talk to people that I care about. And right now, that's how I stay connected and how I stay sane, to be honest, along with this little radio show from my super secret home base. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. We have been rocking and rolling for the last several hours. It's also supposed to be Masters weekend. It's not, but at least we have a date later in the year for when Augusta National will host one of golf's premier events. Well, the premier event, but one of golf's majors. Coming up in 15 minutes, we will take a bit of a walk down memory lane, the 2019 Masters, which was Tiger Woods in all of his glory, winning the fifth green jacket of his career. And he did an interview with Golf TV in the last couple of days, and he mentioned how odd it is for him, how weird, how his body was almost twitching. He was cranky, and he was grumpy because last Sunday he knew that he was supposed to be headed to Augusta National to start preparation to defend his title. So now at this point, he has to wait. And while you certainly can believe that by November, much of our sports world will be back to normal, quote unquote, there's certainly no guarantee of anything right now. But even to have to wait that long, I mean, it's tough. It's tough when this was supposed to be a triumphant return to Augusta National.
You know, this is not the way that I wanted to keep the jacket for a longer period of time. I wanted to get out there and compete for and earn it again, like I did in 02. But this is not normal circumstances, not the normal world. This is a very fluid environment, and it's very different for all of us. Fortunately, that we potentially could have a Masters in November and play it then. I guess I'll be defending then. You know, hopefully that all comes about.
I hope so too. I don't want to say it'll get lost because the Masters is a standalone event that people tune into, even if they're not tuned into the golf schedule. And it would obviously be completely different with three majors in the Ryder Cup. But the Masters is one that attracts even casual fans. Sunday at the Masters, you don't even have to be a golf fan to tune in and watch. But in November, there will be a lot of competition. A lot more competition than what you would get if it had stayed this April weekend where it is normally played. Still, I believe that people will tune in and watch, and it'll be a novelty to have it later in the year. I just hope that all the world's best golfers will still be in prime shape, because it's going to be a completely different schedule with a lot of big events crammed in and a lot to ask of these golfers, both mentally and physically. They'll have to pick and choose which events they want to show up for. And they're going to have to figure out how to navigate a training schedule as well that doesn't allow them nearly as much time to prepare for each individual event. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. A bit of a peek behind the curtain. Tiger Woods did host his own Champions Dinner with his family, his kids, and his girlfriend as they're staying in place at home in Orlando. And he put a photo out there on social media wearing the green jacket, and he did say that this was the meal that he would have hosted at Augusta National if he'd had the opportunity.
Had exactly the same. Yes, we had steak and chicken, sushi and sashimi. We had cupcakes and milkshakes for dessert. So it was exactly what I was going to serve. As I said, Masters dinner, quarantine style with my family. We had a lot of fun, and eventually it got a little bit interesting at the end, a little ugly, where icing was flowing across people's hair and face. And so we had a little bit of fun at the end.
Could you imagine some of the ghosts at Augusta National turning over in their graves if there had been a food fight at the end? Also, Dave, did you hear what he said? Sushi and chini? Sushi chini? What?
I think he said sushi and sashimi.
Oh, I was like, I've never heard of that before. What am I missing? Tiger Woods on Golf TV with a very exotic and an eclectic mix for the Champions Dinner. I do like the milkshakes and the cupcakes, though. So coming up in 10 minutes, we'll look back at Tiger's 2019 win, and we'll talk a little bit about the weekend that was supposed to be at the Masters, a tradition unlike any other. 855-212-4CBS, that's our toll-free line. We're asking you iconic uniform numbers in sports. And by iconic, I mean you don't have to be a fan of a particular team or a particular athlete. You still know the number when you see it. Instantly seeing that number, even if it's on a highway sign as you're driving down the road, instantly when you see that number, it triggers a memory. It triggers a name. Michael Jordan, this is the prime example. But close behind him, I would say 99, Wayne Gretzky. So Jordan, of course, 23, and mentioned that you could have athletes across the board in other sports who are wearing 23 and are doing it because of Michael Jordan, especially this young generation of athletes, because of the fact that they would have grown up, some of them, watching Michael Jordan. But there are others who've worn that number. Once you wear that number, whether it's basketball or whether it's another sport, you have a standard to uphold. You have to be worthy of that number. Now, 23 is a relatively easy one. We have 33, where we've had a bit of a debate going on, but at least there's some symmetry there. So you have 33 with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, 33 for me with Larry Bird. The eight debate, the great eight debate, we've enjoyed having, and I've seen a bunch of your tweets and your Facebook posts about who the number eight should be associated with. Well, not one athlete. It's pretty obvious that it's associated with multiple athletes.
Yeah!
But but Alex Ovechkin is the most entertaining. So Cal Ripken, Alex Ovechkin. I mean, we could go on and on. And many of you, as I say, have sent me your number eights and the athletes that you associate with number eight. Those are a couple that come to mind for me. Steve Young. I even saw another, a man on Facebook post Lamar Jackson. Okay, maybe not yet, but he is an MVP. How about Dale Earnhardt Jr. also had the number 8 when he was following in his father's footsteps? And then you could put Kobe Bryant in there as well. We had the conversation earlier about which number do you more closely associate with Kobe? I mean, it's also a debate that revolves around iconic uniform numbers. For me, another one would be 7, John Elway, but he's not the only one who wore the number 7 and wore it well. You could do number 4. Is it Brett Favre? Is it Lou Gehrig? Is it Bobby Orr? But again, when you're thinking iconic uniform numbers, the athletes that you would list next to that number, they've got to be ones who are worthy of the standard. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk to Mitchell, who's in Cleveland. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Great to hear you. Hey, I'm totally blind, so I go by the names, but the only number in Cleveland that I could really, besides LeBron James, that sticks out to me was our quarterback was the only last good quarterback we had, Bernie Kosar. So otherwise, it's names that stick out to me, great players have the first same name. And here in Cleveland, I can only think of Jim Brown and Jim Tomey. So by me being blind, numbers really don't, stick out for me. It's the name. So,
okay, but if I said to you, what number did Michael Jordan wear, you would know, right?
No, 23, yeah. But see, yes. Yeah, I would know 23. Even LeBron, I would know 23. Kobe.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of players, if I hear their number, I would know. Like Tim Duncan, I really didn't remember what Tim Duncan number was, and that's crazy. But I knew that, Tim Duncan, the name.
Mm-hmm. So, of course. But I feel like you're the perfect person to ask, because if you know the number, Mitchell, then we have to recognize it as iconic.
Right. And then I listen to you talk about your favorite color, and your favorite number was 33, and your favorite. My favorite color is purple, because before I lost my sight, that was the last color that I ever saw physically. When they were taking me into surgery, my mother was standing at the foot of my bed, and she had on this beautiful purple jogging suit. Purple is my favorite color because it was the last color I ever saw in my life.
Aww.
And I'm 50, and I've been blind since I was 16. So, and then just want to say, I have a niece that's a doctor, and I have a cousin that's a nurse. I want to say kudos to them for the work that they do. And I also, Amy, work in a daycare that is still open. Yeah, it's still open, and we have to take in children that belong to firefighters, doctors, and all of that. So we're still taking a risk because by their parents being in the hospital, we don't know if they're being exposed. And then the thing about it, in the daycare, we can't wear masks because the little children will be scared of us.
Hmm.
So it's a hard job, but we go in every day. We have to take the children's temperature as they come in, and also have to take our temperature at the beginning of our shift and at the end of our shift, just to make sure we're okay.
Of course. So. Well, I feel like the little kids must absolutely love you, Mitchell. You have a great spirit about you and can certainly tell a story. So thank you for calling up. Be safe and take care of those kiddos.
All right. Thanks, Amy.
Good to talk to Mitchell in Cleveland, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. The great debate about iconic uniform numbers. This is how you know that we're in good shape. If we could spend hours arguing about uniform numbers, it's good stuff. Coming up, a bit of a walk down memory lane. Tiger Woods, this time last year, was about to win his 5th green jacket, and it was his first major win in over a decade, and it was probably one of the, if not the biggest sports story, one of the top 3 biggest sports stories of 2019 as he finally ascended to the top of that major world again. So we'll talk a little bit about it, plus missing the Masters this weekend. In the meantime, your First Responder Friday posts, we'd love to see those.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I felt energetic. I felt really alive and wired, irritable, and I didn't know what was going on. And I realized it was Sunday morning, and I was supposed to be flying up to the drive to putt. to hand out trophies to all the award winners. And my body, my subconsciously, I'd already known that I was supposed to be getting ready to leave and go to Augusta and so start playing the Masters. I mean, it's not that. You're not playing this week.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Part of Tiger Woods' interview with Golf TV, you can hear him on a video call and talking about the weird confluence of emotions that he was feeling last weekend when his body was ready to go, his mind was ready to go, but he was not actually going to Augusta National to start the week with all of its pomp and circumstance festivities and, of course, defending his title. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome Cam Rogers, who is the host of Believe in Tiger Woods on the Believe Podcast Network. And Cam, on this morning, you hear Tiger Woods talk about how weird it was not to be at Augusta National. What's it like for you? This is supposed to be Masters weekend.
You know what, Amy? It's so funny. I woke up, I went right to Masters.com to check the first round leaderboard, and oh, wait, we don't have one because there isn't a Masters right now. We have to wait all the way until November. So, Tiger, my man, I feel you. I'm wired for it. He's wired for it. I'm sure you are too, Amy, and the listeners out there. It's pretty bizarre.
You know what, though? I like the idea. Now, there's no substitute for it, but I like the idea that CBS has come up with, and I'd love to get your feedback on this. Having Tiger Woods and having Phil Mickelson, along with Jim Nance, as well as this whole other hour that's devoted to Jack Nicklaus and his win back in the 70s, but to go over that 2004 Masters victory for Phil when he got his first green jacket, and then 2019, Tiger's return as a major champion winner, and to have those two golfers along with Jim Nance reviewing what it was like for them in that moment.
Yeah, it's like best case scenario right now, Amy. Of course, we have no real sports right now, so we are really latching on to whatever good hashtag content is out there. I'm talking about good content right there with Tiger Woods, Jim Nance, and Phil Mickelson. I mean, just listening to Tiger talk about that Masters win gives you goosebumps, because think about where he was, right? People were saying, Tiger quit, Tiger quit, Tiger quit. You don't have it anymore. It's all over. You know, the microdiscectomies, these back surgeries, the mugshot, and then you see him triumph last year, hoisting that green jacket, and hearing him talk about it now really is truly something special, and I think it really does send a message, Amy, of battling back from adversity. When you think you are at rock bottom, you are not, because you can come back. And Tiger Woods is a perfect example of that in what he did on the 18th green last year.
Okay, well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to ask you, your memories, the moments that will stick with you from Tiger's return to the top of the golf world, winning his first major in 11 years at Augusta National, his fifth green jacket, what will you remember?
Yeah, I mean, it's a script that Spielberg could not write, honestly. I mean, it was a beautiful moment just the entire week. And you got the sense that he was feeling good after that first round. He wasn't in first place per se, but he was floating and he had some confidence in his post-round interview. That told me something. Now, I didn't think he'd go on to win. Trust me, I will be the first to admit I did not pick him to win last year. And guess what? He did. I think that shot on 16, Amy, in that final round, and Nick Faldo talked about this too recently, where it seemed like the earth stood still. And he nearly aced the freaking shot. It was absolutely unbelievable. And so that shot told me in that moment, okay, he's going to go ahead and win this. Like, he's going to get this done. And that's something that will really stick into my mind. The roars of Augusta, you know, the beautiful azaleas, the majestic week that it is, just adds to it. And when Tiger is in the hunt, usually there is great excitement. There was a lot of excitement at that shot at 16 in the final round, and that's something that's going to stick with me. And, of course, the final putt, too, to really feel it. And then Jim Nance and Nick Faldo, Amy, they are the who's who of announcers. They didn't say a word. They just let the moment speak for itself. And that's what the great announcers do. And we all just kind of sat back and watched Tiger celebrate with his family in what is probably the greatest comeback of all time in sports. Michael Jordan said it once.
I'm right now, even as you speak, Cam, looking at a photo of him in exultation on that final green, April 14th, 2019, the culmination of what was over a decade of him trying to get back to the pinnacle of his sport. Cam Rogers is host of Believe in Tiger Woods on the Believe Podcast Network with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So the schedule is now backloaded. The Masters is supposed to be in mid-November. Let's start there. What do you think about a pairing of late fall and Augusta National for this iconic tournament?
You know what they say, change is good, right? So why not? Let's try it out. Let's see what happens. You know, yeah, you mentioned it. It really is a backloaded schedule as we stand. You have the three FedEx Cup playoff events, and then after you have the U.S. Open. So it makes me wonder, when does the season actually end? How do the FedEx Cup points actually get accrued? Do they do it retroactively? Is it a new season when the U.S. Open happens? I don't know. Some of those questions are up in the air. And of course, Amy, as we know, it is a very fluid situation in the world of sports. So this schedule is far from cemented. But for the Masters in November, if you go online and look at the pictures of Augusta National in the beautiful fall, I think it's a fantastic thing. I'm from New England, so I am used to the fall foliage and all of that jazz, which makes New England so beautiful during that time. I think the Masters is going to have that kind of feel. Now, it's Georgia and not New Hampshire, for example, but it's going to be a nice little change. And the only question I have is, how do the ratings shake out when you have that thing called the NFL happening at the same time? It's something to bear in mind.
Well, not just the NFL, but college football as well. And we don't know right now what the baseball schedule look like. And so if you go by some of the models that they're considering, we could still have baseball postseason in November, especially since this would be mid-November. They might not be done with the baseball playoffs. They could be smack dab in the World Series. You would also have the NBA and the NHL who would have resumed their, you know, their new seasons. So there could be so much happening, not to mention tennis, what they might still be in the middle of, though generally they're in Asia by that time, but also NASCAR kind of wrapping up with its playoff run. I mean, it could be absolutely insane. Still, the Masters is an event that generally would stand on its own. Let's talk about Tiger Woods specifically. He actually had a rough start to the year. So he won in Japan late last year, and that tied the 82nd victory, so most ever on the PGA Tour. But he didn't contend at Torrey Pines. He was last at, was it Riviera where he was last? And then he decided he was going to shut it down. So that was going back to, say, was it mid-February or so? He said he wasn't feeling quite right. So how do you think this time off will work for him?
I think it's an ideal situation, Amy. You hit the nail on the head there. The Genesis Invitational out there in L.A., Tiger made the cut, but he finished in dead last among the players who made the cut. And here's the thing about Tiger Woods now in his post-40 years. He is more environmentally dependent now than ever before. What do I mean by that? Well, how's his back feeling on Wednesday morning? How's the weather? Is it cold? Is his back going to tighten up? Are the factors in play? Does he know the course well? All of these things accumulate to Tiger Woods' eventual result in a tournament. And so, for example, you have the Masters, which was fine weather, no problems with the back, everything clicked. He knows Augusta National like the back of his hand. Some other times, you see that he struggles and he talks about his back and he talks about, you know, the colder temperatures and all of this. So it's something to bear in mind for Tiger. But yeah, he talked about it in that interview you played earlier where, yeah, I would have been good to go this week. So that's obviously a good thing. And here's the other thing about backs. I mean, we know them. They're a fickle kind of thing. Tony Romo is an example. Actually, I have back problems sometimes. I've been trying to roll out my knots that I have in my upper back. It's a fickle thing. You just never know how it's going to work when you wake up. By the way, guys, good ergonomics when you're at your desk at home. It's critical, let me tell you. And so for Tiger, it's good to know that he was going to play this week, obviously. More rest, the better, in my opinion. I don't really believe in the whole rust theory because he kind of has a golf course in his backyard. He can play whenever he wants, and in fact he is playing with his son too, so it's pretty cool to see. So he'll be fine. I think obviously we're going to see less Tiger Woods golf now in terms of his schedule going forward. He just wants to play it safe, and it totally makes sense. Maybe he only plays two FedEx Cup playoff events you know, something like that. Of course, we'll play all three majors. By the way, pretty surreal that we don't have an Open Championship this year,
right,
too.
Right.
But, yeah, I think he'll be just fine. He'll be gearing up for the late push should we have these tournaments in the summer.
Okay, well, let me ask you this then before I let you go, Cam. We're talking about potentially three majors and a Ryder Cup. Now, his last Ryder Cup appearance was abysmal, but he was at the end of a season in which he had kind of pushed it coming back from injury. But how might an older golfer like Tiger, who has a history of injuries, and we know the back is bulky and can flare up at any time, how might he navigate a schedule that could potentially give us the PGA Championship in August, then moving forward into September, could have the Ryder Cup as well as the U.S. Open, and then follow that up with the Masters, where he's the defending champ a few weeks later?
Look, I'm not going to mince words on that one, Amy. It's going to be a haul. It's going to be hard for him, and he's going to have to pick and choose, like I said, maybe skip a FedEx Cup playoff event, maybe skip two, depending on where he's at in the standings.
Would he skip a major? But would he skip a major?
No, I don't foresee that at all. Here's the thing, Amy. Like, Tiger Woods has his process, to use a 76ers phrase. Trust that process to get yourself ready for a given tournament. He has his routine. Tiger is like one of the most routine-oriented golfers out there, and golfers just in general are wired to be routine-oriented. So if he just follows his proper exercises, wakes up at the right time, his usual time, does his pregame warm-ups, if you will, then he should be fine. But yes, you always have to think in the back of your mind, oh my God, when's that back going to tighten up? When is he going to get stiff again? So he has to play it conservatively. So as I look at the schedule, Amy, you have the PGA in early August. Maybe he skips the Northern Trust in Boston, go to the BMW, then the Tour Championship, then the U.S. Open and the Ryder Cup. That point right there, that's where you should be thinking about, okay, how's he feeling health-wise? And hopefully all of this time off allows him to kind of make this rocket type of push in the golf season.
All right. Yeah, interesting. A lot of questions that we have, we won't have answers till much later in the year, but he gets to keep that green jacket for a little bit longer. You can follow Cam Rogers on Twitter at MrRogers99. He's the host of Believe in Tiger Woods on the Believe Podcast Network. It's great to catch up with you. We appreciate a couple of minutes. By the way, where in New Hampshire are you from?
Shout out to Nashua, New Hampshire, right on the southern border.
Well, I know it well since I grew up in Concord. So live free or die, baby.
There you go. Thanks so much, Amy. Be well, okay?
Yes, be safe. Thanks, Cam. Interesting to think about the possibilities, but also the pitfalls. And for an older golfer, or forget golf, for an older athlete, if you start condensing and changing schedules, there are these possibilities that it's going to catch up with them physically, probably not mentally. Older athletes tend to know their bodies well. And with the wisdom and experience, you know, that they can handle those types of changes. But the issue is, even if you take the NBA, if they play into July or August, how quickly can they then turn around? They've had a bunch of time off, but how quickly can they then turn around and start right up again in October? You know, the way that baseball may condense its schedule, there could be a greater risk for injuries if they're playing a lot of extra doubleheaders, or they're taking away the days off and you're traveling and winging it all over the country. And so it's going to pose some challenges, physical challenges. And I would say for older athletes, it's much greater, of course, because their bodies don't bounce back quite as easily from the aches and pains and the bumps and the bruises. Good to talk to Cam. Good to talk a little bit about the Masters and Tiger Woods. Coming up, we'll get back to your iconic uniform numbers in sports. And also, we've got a plan. An actual plan, Stan, for the NFL draft. You'll hear from the commissioner, Roger Goodell.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Oh, that Patrick Mahomes. I miss football. I miss Kevin Harlan on the Westwood One radio network. Just miss sports in general. However, I believe it won't be long, just a couple more months, and we'll see the sports world start to gear up again, which gives us a lot to look forward to. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. And we've also got the NFL draft, which will already have gone through the first round by this time in 2 weeks. And so we're inching ever closer, as much as it feels like sometimes the hours are crawling by. But man, this is the end of the third week of doing the show from the After Hours super secret home base. And I mean, if I think about it in that perspective, the time is flying by. Our toll free line is 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. The NFL has released its plan for this upcoming virtual draft, which will take place in 2 weeks. And the word that the NFL has used is normal. We want everything to be as normal as possible, which is kind of a joke, I think. I mean, it's not going to be normal. In fact, it's going to be a novelty. Let's use a different N word. And Roger Goodell will still play a major role. He'll announce the draft picks. The players' reactions will be shown virtually. In fact, what they're doing, the NFL is sending these virtual draft kits. So technology to 58 different prospects so that they can join the broadcast of the draft. And the whole idea is that they would have cameras in the prospects' homes. They would also be able to interview them remotely when they get drafted. And this won't just happen during the first round. It'll take place over the course of the 3 days. So they're going to do almost a virtual green rooms, but spread it out. So not just the high ranked prospects, the prospects that are expected to go on that first night, but because they have the opportunity now to connect with prospects all over the country at all potential levels of the draft, they're going to go ahead and make this a feature in the draft for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And they've got this plan in place that they believe will be the best of all worlds, so to speak. And Commissioner Roger Goodell sounds optimistic.
It's a big day for the NFL, but it's a big day for these kids who have worked so hard for it. But it's also really important to our fans, and I think maybe even at a time like we're in now, even a more important thing. And to know that the NFL was planning to play this fall, that's our hope and that's our planning today. We can help our country heal. We can help bring our communities together. We can provide hope. We can provide a distraction from the everyday issues and show people that there is a future out there and that we're all going to be part of that.
I agree. Whether it's football, whether it's baseball, whether it's golf, whatever your favorite sport is, as we wait for the pandemic to be dispatched, as we wait for people to get out of the hospitals and the emergency hospitals to close, and as we wait for a vaccine and for ways to treat the coronavirus and to protect those that are at highest risk, all of the work that we're doing to stay at home, and those of you who are on the front lines, the ones we honor on First Responder Friday, I mean, it's all part of this attempt to protect people and to keep as many people as possible from contracting the virus and, of course, spreading it to other people. It's working. You can start to see the numbers change as we've taken these drastic steps. And yet there's a whole second half of the year out there when I believe that sports will be a major part of our healing and kind of coming out and resetting, so to speak. They will also play a major role in jumpstarting the economy, because it's not just the games. It's the other industries that rely upon sports and the draw of sports to be able to fuel their own businesses, hotels, restaurants, and the like. Now, the draft is just another piece of what the NFL has done this spring, and I'm thankful for it because it's been an opportunity to kind of weave through our nightly shows and give us not just a variety of topics, but also something to distract us. And so the NFL draft is the next piece to come along. And tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific, the Inside College Football crew gets you ready for this upcoming NFL draft. They'll break down the blue chippers and speculate on the game's next superstars. It's only on CBS Sports Network. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. And also on Twitter, A-Law Radio, as well as our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our topic tonight, which, gosh, you've buried me in your tweets and your Facebook messages, iconic uniform numbers in sports. And I don't mean just for your particular fan base. We're talking about the ones that transcend the fan base, the particular uniform that the number was worn on, those colors, maybe even the sport itself. And a couple that I think we can throw out there that are very evident would be Michael Jordan, number 23. I mean, think about the number of younger athletes now who wear 23 or have worn 23 in honor of Michael Jordan because he was their favorite. 99, the great one, Wayne Gretzky. And Jackie Robinson, number 42, of course, has been retired by all of Major League Baseball now, though Mariano Rivera, he was allowed to wear it until the end of his career. But as it turns out, producer Chris just put this up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. We're calling it a Sports Flashback Friday. So a Sports FBF, kind of a spin on the TBT. But back in 1947, on this date in 1947, Jackie Robinson became the first black player of the 20th century to sign an MLB contract. Brooklyn GM Branch Rickey announces that the Dodgers have bought Robinson's contract from the Montreal Royals. So you want to talk about perfect timing. And I didn't even know that date as I was talking about iconic uniform numbers. But for sure, 42 is one of those that is a sports fan. Even if you weren't a fan of the Brooklyn Dodgers or ever saw Jackie Robinson play, you certainly understand the impact and the significance of that number. 855-212-4CBS. I just got this tweet. Jackie's 42 is the most significant, but Jordan's 23 is the most iconic. A lot of you sending me photos or gifts. And so Allison just sent me a photo of Dale Earnhardt in front of his number three, the Intimidator car, the black, of course, with the white and the red trim. That's one that I would absolutely include. Mike says number two for Derek Jeter. Chris on Twitter, Mario Lemieux. Now, Mario Lemieux is an interesting one because he wore it, but he's not the only one who wore it. And I in hockey, even specifically in his own franchise, I love the fact that you've got some numbers that are iconic for multiple athletes. Dave, if you want to pop on the mic, we've talked about number eight tonight, right? So that's been one of them. And you could list a variety of athletes over, you know, a couple of different sports who've worn the number and have upheld the expectation. 21 is a number one, right? We debated 21. What are some of the others? 21 has, again, a bunch of athletes that you can point to and say, oh, that guy wore it the best. So Tim Duncan, 21, Primetime, 21, Sean Taylor, 21. I know I'm missing some, but what are some of the other numbers that we've had tossed out there? 33? I think 33
was a good one. Mm-hmm. Bird and Kareem, and also number four, I think, was a big one with Bobby Orr, Lou Gehrig, and Brett Favre.
Right. Oh, and then we were also talking about, yes, four was one. How about we were talking about 12 as well, right? Especially with the number of quarterbacks in football that wore have worn number 12. Brady right now, but Joe Namath, as you pointed out, Roger Staubach, Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, Stabler, I believe, wore number 12 as well.
Well, and in football with quarterbacks, it's an interesting situation because there's only so many numbers. And we've obviously had thousands of different quarterbacks who played in the NFL, not all Hall of Famers, but there's only so many numbers they can choose from. They have to be in that pocket from, what is it, 0 to 19?
Yeah, and that's kind of something that's gotten lost over time. I think you used to have a number or a set of numbers, and the, you know, like number 7 or you know, 12 was for the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And for certain sports or positions, it's kind of gotten lost over time, where like if you wore 80 or 87 or 88, you were a wide receiver. And now it's like people want to be double 0 and 90, you know, whatever. And who knows what number that you could wear now.
Yeah, you're right. The twist, but sometimes you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Dennis on Facebook says the only number no one else will wear in his sport again, the great 199 Gretzky. Well, in his sport, yes, but in baseball, no one else will ever wear the number 42. We talked about Kobe Bryant and his two numbers, and there's kind of the tie to eight as well, right? And this is an interesting debate, yet another one that we stumbled upon. When you think of Kobe Bryant, do you think of 24 or do you think of eight? And I guess you could think of both. And for some people, they've got both of those jersey numbers. You have some athletes who wore multiple numbers. LeBron James is another example of that. And so, yeah, it's just kind of fun to talk about. It's a bit of a mindless sports debate that really doesn't matter much at all. And yet we've enjoyed talking about it over the last few hours. You can continue to send those tweets, A-Law Radio. And also, it's a First Responder Friday, so we want to honor your first responders. We'll retweet if you have a family member or a friend who is on the front lines in the medical field or in law enforcement. Our Facebook page, too. And if you missed any of our shows this week or some of our great interviews, so it was awesome to talk to Wade Phillips. I'm still glowing over my interview with Coach and American tennis pro Sam Querrey and what he's doing right now. How about Lamonte Taylor of Florida State, who is getting ready for the NFL draft and who moved in with his trainer? Feels like the perfect solution. Just really good stuff this week on the show. Thanks to Chris, thanks to Dave, who are doing a lot of work and still at CBS Sports Radio headquarters. We hope you have an awesome weekend, specifically an awesome Easter weekend. And we'll be back with you on Sunday night after hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.